So the account we've seen is from John's Gospel. And it said at the end, didn't it? They believed. And John writes, my God, he wrote his gospel so that we might believe. It's a testimony of what has happened, a testimony. And we've got four gospels, four accounts of Jesus' life, and all four include the resurrection. Now, you might be interested to know that a survey was done just in 2022. It was called Talking Jesus Report. It was nationwide, and a massive 45% of people in the UK claimed to believe in the resurrection happened in some way. Throughout history, we've heard people dismiss the resurrection. The resurrection has been dismissed as fantasy or legend or myth. It's scientifically impossible, they say. However, those that believe in the resurrection are not saying it's scientifically possible. The resurrection is impossible, and it is therefore a miracle. A miracle, by definition, is an extraordinary and welcomed event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore attributed to divine agency. There's a famous quote from Sherlock Holmes. It says, when you eliminate all the possibilities, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. So who is telling the truth? Each of the gospel writers set out to present evidence to us that the resurrection is true. In the clip we saw, John gives his account of that first Easter morning. Mary goes to the tomb and finds it empty. And she immediately tells the disciples, Peter and John, who rush to the tomb to find it empty. So John provides us with three eyewitnesses and folded cloth. Now, there are lots of objections to the resurrection. You might have thought of some of them yourself. For example, was the body stolen? Now, grave robbers were common at the time, and it would have been a great opportunity during the Sabbath when people generally stayed in their homes. But the very first thing they would have done would have been taken what was of value. But Jesus didn't have anything of value. Remember how the soldiers cast lots for his clothes? The only thing of value was the cloth he was wrapped in, and that was left behind. Strangely, the body has gone, but the cloth remains and has been neatly folded. The second objection you might have is, well, maybe they just went to the wrong tomb. But this too seems unlikely, as Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that the women watched Jesus be put in the tomb and a guard was placed to prevent it being stolen. So even if the women had got it wrong, then the real tomb would have been located later, especially when the disciples started to say that Jesus had risen. The authorities could have brought out his body and said, no, look, here it is, or pointed to the right tomb. Instead, they were unable to produce the body, and the gospel records that the soldiers were paid to say the disciples stole the body. This again seems really unlikely, as the disciples were not expecting this. In fact, they were panicked, they were in shock, and they didn't know what had happened. What about the idea that Jesus wasn't dead? Perhaps he was taken down before he was fully dead. After all, it was a bit of a rush. Well, firstly, the Romans knew how to kill people. They broke the legs of the other people on the cross to ensure they died quicker. But when they tested Jesus by sticking a sword in his side, they concluded he was dead. Also, the Jesus that the disciples meet later is not unhealthy, like a corpse walking along, internally bleeding and stumbling around, but actually he's healthy, he's talking, and he's even eating food. He also, in order to do this, would have moved the stone from the inside and had to fight off the Roman soldiers like some kind of Marvel character. So what about the eyewitnesses? Can we trust them? Did they lie or were they delusional in some way? Well, first, let's think about lying. The first people John records as seeing Jesus were the women. Now, this is strange, because if you wanted to authenticate a lie at the time, you would not have chosen women to be the first to testify, because women weren't trusted at that time. They were not held in respect, and people would have dismissed their testimony as being maybe hysterical, or that's just the women. However, all four gospel writers agree that the women saw him first. What about them being overcome with grief? Perhaps they were delusional. They were so distraught. Did they just want it to be true? It's clear from the Gospels that they were really surprised. They weren't expecting it. And even if we had one delusional person who managed to convince others, the Gospels record that Jesus was seen again and again, up to 500 people. And group hallucinations can happen, but not 500. And also, not all the disciples believed it. Thomas, for example, demanded proof. He said, "I'm not going to believe this. This is crazy. Look, let's just get on with our lives. I won't believe it unless I see him and I can touch him and I can put my hand in his side." Now, that sounds disgusting, doesn't it? But what Thomas is saying is, "I'm not going to believe unless you give me some really hard evidence that I cannot deny." Later, though, we see something dramatic has happened. Every single disciple, including Thomas, was willing to stake their lives. That's 100% were willing to die, potentially, for something that is not true. I wonder if our 45% of our survey who said they believed in the resurrection would be willing to die for that statement. It just doesn't add up. And finally, we might use the argument that the letters were written later. Perhaps the stories changed over time, some tweaks happened. What's interesting about the Gospels is that they remain distinctive testimonies. You might have noticed that sometimes they don't match. You'll be like, "Oh, but it says here it's one and here it's two." Well, actually, this is good evidence. Anyone who's taking witness statements does not want these statements to match. If they match, it means that they've colluded in some way. They've had a chance to talk about it. They've now all agreed that the man's shirt was red. Actually, if one says it's red and one says it's blue, it's much more likely that these guys are telling the truth. And we see that in the fact that we have still four distinctive gospels. Otherwise, we would just have one gospel, or they would all perfectly match each other. There are many objections to the resurrection, but I believe each one comes back to the same thing, that we can reasonably accept that Jesus rose from the dead. All the evidence points to this point of view. If Jesus didn't rise, if he or his disciples were liars or deluded, then we have nothing. But if Jesus rose from the dead like he said he would, we can trust that what he said was true. Now, Jesus' words weren't just good moral teaching. There are lots of leaders that have offered that over the years. But Jesus made a further claim. He claimed that he existed before creation and that he and the Father, that is God, were one. This is a pretty wild claim for someone who's perhaps lying or deluded. But he also claimed he'd rise from the dead, and he did it. He taught that through faith in him, all people over all time could live as they were intended to live. In the Bible, it talks about eternal life. That's a quality of life, a way we were intended to live that lasts forever. We are free from the consequences of sin, which is death. And we enter into this permanent, loving relationship with God. Let's look at just two things Jesus said. Firstly, he said, now this is eternal life. That's that quality. That's the real life that we long for, that we hunger for, that we notice this isn't how it was meant to be. This is eternal life. What is it? That they know you, the only true God, and Christ Jesus, whom you've sent. Jesus declares that to experience this true spiritual eternal life, we must know and be in a relationship with God. Elsewhere, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, that's God, except through me. If life is to know the Father, to know God, Jesus says, you can know him through me. Now, that's a pretty bold claim. You can know God through me. Through his death on the cross for our sin, we receive total forgiveness and this reconciliation with God. Through his teaching, we learn about the world and God and ourselves and how we can live this life that he offers. Today, as Christians, we celebrate that we know the Father. Not that we're special or clever, but solely through Jesus. He sent his Spirit, Holy Spirit, to come live in us, to begin this life. It's sometimes called being born again. We start again. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Paul describes the Holy Spirit as a deposit. It's a down payment of what is to come, full and eternal joy and relationship, the way we were meant to be. So today, we celebrate as Christians. We're confident, yes, in the evidence that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. But I would say we are convinced by our knowledge of God through Christ by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces us that we know Jesus. Millions of people across the world will say, I know Jesus. Now, that's a pretty weird thing to say. But the Holy Spirit, God sends, pours his love into our hearts, makes that possible. Death is certainly not the end of God's story. Jesus has risen, it is true. And Jesus invites all who believe this to experience this life through him. Now, if you would like to know more about the evidence, then, oh, here it is. I have these booklets. They are on a table just by the door. They are a summary of a massive book. So if, like me, you're not a massive reader, this is perfect. It's called Case Closed, and it looks at all the arguments that people bring as to why the resurrection could not have happened. And that might be somewhere you want to start. There's also these. They're called No Greater Love. And they outline that week, the death and resurrection of Jesus, but with all four Gospels, weaving them together so that you can see their evidence, their testimony for the resurrection. And if you'd like to know more about knowing God, you can pretty much ask most people in the room, but you could ask me or Jez, and we're really happy to share our experience of how we came to know God through Jesus. Amen.